Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us. We're starting our live show. All right, good Wednesday evening. Good Wednesday evening. Thank you guys so much for joining me once again for our live broadcast. And I have a question for everybody, because tonight we're talking about Facebook and YouTube and censorship and anti-vax rhetoric and all of those things. And I'm wondering how many of you panicked on Monday when Facebook went down, during the Facebook blackout. I know I was trying to get ready to go live actually on Monday, and I couldn't get on. I couldn't get into the app at all, and I was thinking something was wrong with my account, and my internet went down as well. But in the meantime, it turns out that Facebook and all of this affiliates, Instagram, WhatsApp, and all of that was down. And so I think we all thought we were in Facebook jail. But what they have going on right now with the whistleblower and all of that, I think some things are going to come behind it with legislation that's going to feel like Facebook jail for a lot of people. And there's some lawsuits flying, and there's a lot going on with it. Also, YouTube is censoring anti-vax rhetoric, amongst other things, including conspiracy theories and things like that, that they feel are being harmful to the public. So we're going to talk about a lot of those things as well. And we're going to cover the NBA and their fight against vaccine hesitation. Vaccine hesitation is a huge problem in the Black community, particularly as it relates to our disproportionate, us being disproportionately affected by mortality and infection rates. And so we've been talking about this for a few weeks, and, it's a huge problem. We do have something more than what we had in 2020, which is the vaccine, and they're starting to roll out various experimental treatments and things like that to actually treat COVID. The problem is if you can survive it, when you start talking about adaptive immunity and all of those types of things. So we're going to get off into that, but we're covering the NBA and some other major organizations that are doing vaccine mandates. And so there's some big things happening with that as well. So it's going to be a jam-packed evening. Tanya Yarbrough Business back this evening as our guest co-host to share in our thoughts and whatever. Also, the phone lines are open. I'm going to put the number up in just a little bit so that you can as well call in. I hope that you guys will actually call in to share your thoughts and opinions. I'm going to give us some house rules and all of that kind of stuff just to keep some order because we don't want it to get out of control. When you share your thoughts and things like that, make sure that you are advancing the conversation and not trying to bring in. I've had a big problem with people coming into the chat and trying to drop in conspiracy theories and things like that. I'm not going to listen to that stuff. We are only trying to sort through the issues and sort out what can be done and what is the best possible way that people can make to help people make decisions about whether or not they should or are willing to or even should be vaccinated. That is the major issue. The U.S. has hit a milestone on Friday with over 700,000 death due to COVID-19. Here in Michigan, we hit a milestone of administering 10 million, over 10 million vaccination shots So we are doing pretty good in this state. The Black community vax rates are still still too low, but we're doing better than a lot of others, like in the South and things like that, where people are just, you know, people are contracting the disease. The governor of, Gregory Abbott out there in Texas, Florida, the Florida governor, Sanchez, I think is his name, he's promoting anti-mask rhetoric and things like that. So it's Ted Cruz, but out there in Texas, Senator Ted Cruz. However, they are also simultaneously petitioning the government for ventilators and stuff. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting to look at all of these things and how they are playing out. And so we're trying to get through this pandemic and where we don't have the fatalities and things like that. People, you know, everybody at this point has been touched by the coronavirus, and its devastating effects. People that have contracted it, they're calling them long haulers. The after effects of the even when you do recover from the disease, the damage that it's doing to the organs and things like that. And so at some point we're going to cover all that as well. But tonight we're talking about Facebook and YouTube and censorship, as well as the vaccine mandates in various organizations. So we're still talking vaccine hesitation, mandates, myths, and disparities in the Black community. So stay tuned. We're waiting on our guests. I'll be back in just a moment after this brief message from one of our sponsors.
Hi, my name is Lauren Popport. I'm the owner of LACC Child Care Academy, and welcome to a whole new world of early childhood development.
From ages 6 weeks to 12 years, offering licensed 24-hour care in a state-of-the-art facility with matrix human services trained staff, including an RN with an isolation medical area, camera monitoring, high-scope curriculum, STEM program, and a natural outdoor playground. Call us today to schedule a tour at 313-345-3744.
All right, that was the LACC Child Care Academy here in Detroit, Michigan, if you are looking for safe and affordable child care. Please give them a call. So, well, hold on a second. I got to turn this, stop the video. So, we're still waiting on our guests, and I guess we can go ahead on and just start the conversation. Now, we're in October, and so October marks 23 months into the pandemic, about around 674 days that we have been dealing with the coronavirus, and so it's an interesting thing in terms of just being in a pandemic and the effect that it has had on us. Even if you haven't had a death, the mental health effects that it has had on all of us, and the changes that we've had to make to our lives has just been extraordinary. So when I talk to you guys, and I hope that you guys will, again, join me, and you're welcome to come on screen. I'm going to go ahead and drop the link to the broadcast. Let me do that now. Let's do that, because I want to make sure that you guys have the opportunity to come on screen if you want to, or you can call in and participate in the conversation. So I want to give us some house rules, though, really quickly, just really, really quick, so that we can stay on task. I'm going to be reading a lot of notes tonight as well. This is a conversation. This is not an attack mission. I know at this point, I know, because I didn't know at first, that there is an anti-vaccination entire movement going on. And so I am here to assist in providing good, solid information in terms of directing people to the proper outlets and organizations that where you can get the information that is found regarding your particular situation in terms of any biomedical conditions that you have and other considerations that you need to have to, in order to decide whether the vaccination is for you. And that's what we're here to do. And also to talk about things, like I said, sort out the issues, sort through the issues, and figure out where we are and where we need to be in terms of making those decisions. The comments must advance the discussion. I'm not allowing any type of conspiracy theories or anything like that. And hopefully everyone can respect that as well. Then if you're going to use an avatar for those that want to come on screen, the link is now in the chat. So if you're going to use an avatar, you must have a photo in your as your avatar to come on screen. If there's no picture there and some cartoon character or what, well, you know, I don't know. It depends. But, you know, the people that I would let on first is those that have a photo. And also you'll have the option of calling in. Again, I'll put that number up in just a second. And then let's see. We're focusing on the vaccine hesitant and things like that. And again, like I said, I'm not trying to get into any squabbles or anything like that or mislead anyone because we're all trying to make the best decisions. Each one of us are in the same boat. And so, you know, because the virus does not know our race, the virus does not know our age, the virus is just looking for someone that is open and unprotected to latch onto and mutate itself and take over your body. So in that respect, you know, there is no difference between us. And so, you know, the fact that you are questioning or skeptical or hesitant or anything like that is fine. You're supposed to question everything. It's called critical thinking. There's nothing wrong with questioning the safety and the efficacy of these vaccines. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, and I, you know, again, believe that everyone has the intelligence with the proper information. We all have the intelligence and the autonomy to make decisions for ourselves. And that's what we're here to do is to make the best decision. Also, let's see, consult medical professionals. This is the most important thing. This is a conversation. So, you know, don't base your decisions on anything that we discussed in this forum. Base your decisions based on what your personal doctor says and other medical or health organizations and things like that. The CDC, NIH, all of them, Johns Hopkins has a wonderful resource center for COVID-19 where you can find out basically anything you need to know to make a decision about getting vaccinated. And then there is the National Medical Association, NMA, the National Medical Association. This is the largest organization of Black physicians. They are there to help us, to give us information and sound information about the virus and about the vaccine. Visit their website. They have a wealth of information already there to share, and I believe that they have live chats and things like that on the website as well. Someone is on, do I have a moderator on Facebook? Oh, I'm sorry. I did not. Okay, I guess Tanya was in the chat at first, and she was saying email me the link, but I guess she clicked it. She's not getting in, though. Anyway, so let's see if we can get Tanya in really quick. Let's see if we can get her in really quick. I'll be right back in just a moment.
Giving out misinformation.
And so they're taking down, they took down so far, I read, they took down 130,000 channels.
Wow. And I mean, they
keep them off the platform.
This information is just like the important, you know?
It is. It is.
The important and,
it's dangerous.
And the way that it is, and they're taking so long to finally review and, you know, censor all the things that are being posted that are, you know, information that's not correct. It is so powerful because when somebody gets
yeah.
into their head, trying to convince them otherwise is very, very tough. And
yeah, and we didn't realize it until we got into this, right?
Yeah, and you know, and when it's what they want to hear, that makes it even more tough. So
yeah.
I'm very satisfied and happy that they're finally getting around to doing that. I mean, I understand freedom of speech, don't get me wrong, but
right.
when you're coming out here and you're just putting out a whole bunch of stuff that's just not beneficial for people, that's just terrible.
Well, I think it's gotten to a point now where they realize that it's costing people lives. Plus, they're taking down a lot of stuff that is making any type of rhetoric that is an attack on democracy, because democracy is under attack as well. Not only are we losing lives to COVID, you know, we hit that 700,000 Friday. 700,000 people dead. So not only do you have that going on, you got the whole political climate is in an uproar. So they're getting rid of all of that stuff, and people are filing lawsuits. Donald Trump is suing YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, but also I think it was the governor in Texas. I think it's the governor in Texas, Tanya. Huh? All of them. They're suing all of them. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. They're suing them for. No, they're putting sanctions on social media companies for suppressing what they call conservative political views. They feel like the social media companies are suppressing those views. Texas, yeah, Gregory Abbott. He just passed a law last month sanctioning social media companies, yes, for suppressing conservative political speech, yeah.
Well,
you
should have done sometimes
that
sometimes
about all
this
going
through.
Say again.
I think Donald Trump was trying to do that. About what?
Just last
year in office?
He sued him in July. He's basically suing because it's hurting him to not be able to, you know.
Right.
He don't have access to his base like he did before.
Exactly. And while with him trying to allegedly run for presidency again, he needs his fan base.
He needs that base. He can't get out. I didn't even hear much hoopla. He did a couple of rallies recently, and I didn't hear many. I didn't hear much hoopla about it. North Carolina and somewhere else, but. The censorship is an issue. Because you know, I don't know. It's a mixed bag of things because I think, you know, it's basically everybody's voice needs to be heard. People, you know, part of huh?
Okay, to a certain degree, yes. That's true. I mean,
yeah, that's what
gives you your information.
Right.
Okay. When you're coming out here and you just put out a whole bunch of rhetoric and you're trying to, you know, bully and tear down and stuff and start having a problem.
Yeah.
Because now we're taking it to a whole different level. We're not doing it as a platform to entertain, to put information out.
Right.
Now we're out here trying to tear people down. We're trying to make them destroy things and do Out of the member, matter of fact, Seth, the guy was in the movie. she ended up dying of TB, and they were trying to find her. And if they did not have a way of finding their family and getting through some type of contact to let them know they had that individual they had hands from, they just ended up in a herd of death. And that's what that was back then.
Right.
And the same thing started happening at the beginning of the pandemic with this pandemic, you know, with this virus. This one here has, like you said, done more in terms of death than any of the food that we had. You know what I'm saying? Because we're going to lose people that have kept the food. We have just, but those numbers are not nearly as severe as what we're getting from the pandemic. I mean, the flu does not tell you that you need to wear a mask. The flu is not telling you not to touch the surface. The flu is not telling you to go out unprotected or anything like that. So that's a total difference.
Yeah, it's something different, and that's one of the things that they're worried about in terms of, because they have, well, the thing that they're worried about now is because the cases in the past, I guess, week or two, cases are actually going down.
Yeah.
And so, it, you know, we're not out of the woods, but, you know, hospitals is getting a little relief. People are recovering a little better. So a lot of these experimental treatments that they're doing is working, and people are contracting it as fast. So they figure we've gotten through basically the third wave. The fourth wave, they're looking to hit about November, and because it's going to be mixed with the flu season.
Right.
So,
and that's why
it's going to exacerbate, yeah.
I was reading something, and I know everybody has a life policy.
They're like who?
A lot of life policy.
Oh, Dr. Fauci, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they don't like him.
I was reading some stuff from him yesterday, and he was saying, you know, he was, again, cognitive of the holiday season. And after gathering family, they asked him when he
I was just looking at the CDC guidelines for the holidays. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, well, it's still a little bit too soon to tell where we might be in that area. If we're going to calm down and what they expect in terms of people being more vaccinated, having more people vaccinated, and being able to, you know, get some control. So he was just saying, I think it was like NSN I was looking at it. And he just did some based on what have his exact numbers and his suggestions as to what to do and how to work there right now. But again, it's still highly recommended to keep your gatherings small.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're gonna have to. I mean, you're gonna. I mean, it's not gone. It's not gone. And actually, there are a couple, because, you know, while the Delta variant remains the dominant variant, it still has mutated a couple more times since then with the Lambda and the Mu. So we still have several variants running around. Plus, it's still mutating. You still got 70 million. I think they said 70 million eligible unvaccinated people. That's the ones that are eligible. So we don't know the full scope of the total number of people. It's still a lot of unvaccinated people running around. So when you talk about the holiday gatherings, please, you have to.
Consider also the transmission of it now is that it's hitting the younger generation.
It's hitting the kids now.
Yeah, you're talking about the children, you know, between 5 and 10 years old, or 5 to 12 years old.
I think the 6 year old just died. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking a whole new population of people that is now spreading more than it was a year ago. Because it was more so
and more severe, and they're contracting the disease is more severe. So you're talking about, you know, teenagers and young, I think a 20-something-year-old died a week or so ago, I heard, and whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it's still, but I want to give out the areas that, in terms of YouTube and their new policy. So I went over the first few. Claims that they're prohibiting content with claims that the approved vaccines are dangerous and cause chronic health effects. false claims related to disease transmission and contraction, misinformation regarding substances contained in the vaccine, claims that vaccines are being used to track or monitor people, and claims that vaccines cause autism, cancer, and infertility. This was the issue with Nicki Minaj a couple of weeks ago when she said her cousin's friend in Trinidad testicles swell up after he got the vaccine, and he's now impotent. So that's why they went into an uproar about that. Then remember we had the lady on here in the chat last week talking about autism and all of that stuff. So I guess they're just cracking down on, they're sick of it. And these are, the thing is, when you're talking about First Amendment rights and all of that kind of stuff, I think that mostly applies to content creators.
You're trying to tear down stuff that you are only doing the bits and pieces of information from. Because you're not a scientist.
Well, it's not even bits and pieces of information because they're not even listening. The thing with that is so dangerous to me about the conspiracy theories and the anti-vax propaganda is that they are no longer listening to science at all. See, this is the thing for me. They're not even consulting science. The whole agenda is based and rooted in the rhetoric. It's not like even rational to me anymore. Yeah, it's not rational anymore. So that's the issue. But then you got to look at it in terms of, you know, the censorship is tricky. It's tricky because of that, you know, when you start cracking down in this area, it's gonna be a spillover, and it's something to watch. It's definitely. And then with the Facebook, this whistleblower and what she's doing, and all of the internal documents that she released to the Congress and to the Wall Street Journal. I guess she leaked it to Wall Street Journal first. But I was watching the Senate hearings from that yesterday, and she's talking about the algorithms and how they are targeting children now. As young as 8 years old. That's what Congress is. They are really mad about that.
I guess I look at it like this. As a parent or,
no,
you know, whatever.
But that's what she says. She's bypassed. They're bypassing. The way that they have it set up is something with the algorithms, and I have to get all of the information to really understand how it all works. But it's something with the algorithms where they are bypassing, like, parental controls and stuff, like allowing children to open blind accounts where their parents can't find them and all of that kind of stuff. And they do that, from what she says, is to boost the numbers because they get their money from advertisers. That's how they're able to pay content creators. They get a percentage, and we get a percentage, those that are monetized. So at that point, when those advertising dollars come in, they can say, look, we have billions and billions of followers that you can put your products in front of. So it's basically, I guess she's saying the accusation is that they're doing it to pad their numbers to look even bigger.
Exactly.
So it's like for profit. And she's saying she doesn't think Mark Zuckerberg did it on purpose. It's just that they're doing things to make money, but they're not looking at the adverse effect, because what is happening is that the children are now getting targeted and they're being trafficked and all of that. Even the January 6th insurrection, she's saying, they were able to gather and share information and plan that whole coup on Facebook.
Right, exactly. And the thing is just like you said, it's money. Money is the top of everything. Money is power. You know, power is the ability to do what you want.
thing is they are private companies. They're not subject. Yeah, you know, you have it. So I think what's going to happen, definitely regulations are going to come in. And, you know, they had Mark Zuckerberg up there in Congress before, and he made some alterations. But she's saying they did that after the January 6th coup, but as soon as everything quieted down, they turned those algorithms right back on. And then the violation of privacy and all of those types of things, because they are able to track us in terms of what will get us to click, what will keep us up. There's a mental health condition, Tanya. Wait a minute. It's a mental health condition called Facebook Addiction Disorder, FAD. It's a mental health condition.
I mean, there are so many people that are so addicted to social media and so interested in
it. Well, they have entire treatment modalities for social media, Facebook addiction. I guess it would be relative to all social media platforms, but it's specifically called Facebook Addiction Disorder. Refers to the excessive compulsive use of the site with the aim of altering moods despite any negative consequences. Social networking sites like Facebook offer the obvious advantage of frequent and convenient interpersonal communication. But this condition is defined by the hours spent on Facebook, where the person spends so much time that it in fact adversely affects the healthy balance of the individual. So yeah, but what she's saying is the format of the social media companies, because it's interaction driven. Like how our videos are shown, they push them out. When we ask people to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and all of that kind of stuff, it's because it shows the platform that we have people engaging with the content. And so when you have the more of that you have, the more they'll show your videos and push them out. Other than that, they'll suppress them. That is how it works.
Right. So that's what someone told me, like, that you can buy, hit the heart, so the heart gets out faster and you see it more.
I don't know about that.
And that was one thing I heard. And then like the other things that have been live on Facebook, it'll tell me, hey, this is live, and hit the heart while you're in my live Facebook.
I don't think that's true.
I don't know how that works, but I know I've been to like a couple of tests. And they had it, you know, just say, hit the live, you know, hit the heart. So I know those live, those heart will go forever. So I don't know if that's
giving
some type of
negative
number for what
it's. I don't think so. All interaction is positive in terms of them pushing your videos out on YouTube. Even a thumbs down, the point is interaction.
Right. If somebody is looking and
watching. If you cause that person to either. All they're looking for is for reaction. Your content caused that person to feel something enough to either say, hey, I like this and hit that button, or I hate this and hit that button. They want the data, period, good or bad. It's probably the same thing, because Facebook owns Instagram and WhatsApp. Google owns YouTube. Twitter is independent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I guess the thing is, like I said, like when you're going on, like I'm not a big Instagram fan, but the Instagram thing, all you can do is hit the heart. You don't have any other choice. You can't hit the fan.
No.
You can't hit the thumbs up. All you can hit the heart. That's what you need. I would get a picture and video, you know.
Right. it's not, it's more, Instagram is a visual platform, and that's the one that she is complaining that whistleblower on Facebook is complaining about the most in terms of how they are adversely affecting children's mental health, because children don't know how to process rejection and stuff like that.
Right.
If they're not getting the likes and all of that.
Right, that's the thing like that about, well, actually, it was more Facebook than saying that, and this just came out like on September 14th, and that Facebook knows it was, Instagram is toxic to any girl.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The research that the mental health survey back in 2019 has found that 14% of boys was less in Instagram, hold on, let me talk about it, so that was one of the things you were talking about, like the mental health in America, you know, on Instagram and stuff, teams and things like that. And then they were telling other stuff.
Well, you know, they're talking about the things, but I think that it affects all of our mental health, really. Because if I have somebody, and this has happened to me, if I'm on, like, I'm a Facebook user, you know that. So if I have people that I'm always liking their posts and commenting and stuff like that, and they don't reciprocate, I actually feel some kind of way about that.
Right. You're like, okay, I'm
going
to sit here saying and responding to your stuff, but you don't never respond to
you don't never say nothing, you know. It's
right.
Like a shame.
Right. And if you post something, you're not responding to you. So it does. And it's
still, okay, why are you on my page? If you don't like nothing I say or post,
right.
Are you just spying on my page? You know, you know, it affects you.
It does. You're absolutely right. If you turn around and see somebody there post something, they get 400 something, you know, in front of you, like, I can give a 400.
Right.
You know what else? You know, we say, hey, you have it. And we're going to love the same, you know, friends and people that we're connected to. And they're doing all of these likes and things like that. And like you said, I can't get some of that.
it's a valid point. In terms of mental health, absolutely valid. And it's not just the kids. It's not just the kids. People get on social media and beef, and they feel, and then they find each other and realize it's not hard to find people. It took you a long year. Right.
And what just pushed me to get involved with it is because I have been located
right.
And to connect with family, you know, physically.
Yeah, that's when you got on when you moved out of state, yeah.
And actually, you know, I had built a page and for the year it was a page. And finally a couple of people, my cousins, did a time class, and I started following the process there, and that kind of pushed me and boosted me. Said, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah. Checking it all day. I had to take it off my phone.
Last weekend, here in Atlanta, the Metro Area, and so press Paul, Christopher, Peter, Paul, Peter, talk about it, invite people out to the connection, and who would be there to produce a film and things like that. But I'm going to make a special guest appearance. I think I told you there's a move before that they got like 2,100 people vaccinated that day.
Yeah.
Which was great numbers, but considering, you know, the numbers that we really need, that's
yeah, see, that's the whole thing. You know, you don't think, because they're saying 77% of the adult population. Now, this was, again, a study. Who did this? I think Kaiser Family Foundation, again. This one was published on September the 22nd. They are a great resource in terms of tracking COVID based on race and ethnicity. I mean, the CDC does have is documenting it as well, and certainly at the state level, but they're not documenting race, they're not tracking race ethnicity numbers at the state level, only at the national level. So they're only looking at numbers in terms of breaking it down like that by demographic in terms of the, across the country. And then you have to go to your separate state website. Michigan Department of Human Health and Human Resources or whomever, yeah, to actually get your state data. Because the CDC is not.
The red states are very low.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee and all of them, they're saying.
And Mississippi's numbers in terms of deaths from COVID, they had more deaths from COVID than they did for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's bad. Florida, that's what I'm saying. Like in Florida, the governor is advocating anti-mask mandates, blocking mask mandates in the school system for kids and stuff like that. Now his kids, and Roland Martin told this, his kids go to private schools with mask mandates, he's telling the people, the poor people with children in the public school to fight mask mandates. And now the Supreme Court, I think, has held up his decision, I believe. But
we had a lot of that here in Georgia, especially in the county that I was in, with the Tower County. They've been having oodles of food board meetings and things like that. The parents protesting the mask mandates for children, you know, talking about the issues and what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you're fighting this so much. And there are ways to try, I mean, you're trying to protect everybody. So why are you fighting this so much? I mean, we've had a couple of teachers that have passed away, the ones that have come out, there's like five teachers that they were introduced.
There's some more funeral home directors, too.
Yeah, so it's like, why are we just such a teacher and fight about this? I mean, just look at their mask. Just wearing their mask. And I mean, there's still a lot of people that are out in public that are not wearing their mask. And I mean, I don't know if those people are vaccinated and they feel safe. And I mean, I know that there's some people, especially in the business sector, that says, hey, I have faith in God and I have faith that there's nothing out here like a factory or a post that will take you down and do this. And you well within your life is going to be that way. But understand, too, God also needs to have a business to protect yourself.
Absolutely.
So
well, I saw something interesting, because now they're saying that people who are fully vaccinated are less likely to transmit the disease. But I have to go back and look at it and see where, you know, check the source for one and where they're getting that information from. But
I just don't see the need for protection.
Well, besides that, we know that there's breakthrough infections, so you put on the mask just to protect yourself, even if you're not infectious to anybody else. You know what I'm saying? You still need it.
I mean, you got people out here who are cool and stuff. You like that lady that was in the supermarket Fredo, that was coughing all over that family. You don't have it. I don't have it. See, that's not the stuff.
Coughing on that lady's baby.
Yes, I mean, Sunday, my brain took not to walk off like that.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, if you stop putting this out here in the air, I mean, and I don't have a mask on, and I just, it's going to help on you.
Right.
Where are you?
Yeah.
You won't know anything about.
I think they said they fired that, they got that lady fired. And see, that's what I'm saying about privacy issues on these platforms as well, that definitely needs to be tightened up. Because it is not hard to find people. That very lady that you are talking about, that when the lady posted that she was coughing on, when she posted that video, the people on Twitter found the lady and got her fired from her job. They found her, the Twitter followers. See, that you can find people too easily, it's not good. I want to run this ad real quick. We're going to continue the conversation. This is for Myra's company. We'll be right back after this brief message from one of our sponsors.
Hello, I'm Christina with Entity of Supporting Service, where we believe in no seniors left behind. With the new invention of methadone, we are able to treat opioid addictions and get our seniors back to living a normal life with their loved ones. We offer recreational therapy along with personalized care. For seniors left behind, want to go to the Community Supporting Services, call us today at 313-733-4528.
All right, that was Institute of Supportive Services here in Detroit, Michigan for opiate detox. Services, mental health services, senior services, and treatment, mental health and therapeutic services. I'm sorry, I'm getting tongue twisted. For therapeutic services as well as recreation, and they have a very nice program over there. Give them a call if you are interested. Now, yeah, so, but yeah, that is, that's one of the things we were talking about, the lady that was coughing on people. The privacy issue on social media is a huge problem. It's a huge problem because people can find you very, very easily. They really can.
Yeah. And like she said, I don't know how she felt being intimidated. Did it matter to her? I don't know.
I'm sure.
She probably could go someplace else and tired and feel good. But nonetheless, it does help to see that people are taking it seriously. And people are going out here and doing all these ignorant things and different folks texting to do that. It's just
right.
Unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. If there was no COVID, you don't cough in people's faces and cough on little babies. I mean, come on. This is crazy.
I mean, and then the fact of the matter is that you do this and you act like it's not the law.
Yeah, like it was funny.
Just because you're wearing a mask, that's not
me. Don't just
upset. Like, sir,
please. Yeah. Absolutely. It's not cute, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all of this stuff plays out in terms of this censorship thing, because Facebook, I think, definitely is going to make a lot of changes. It's too much cheap. I mean, from what it looks like, I watched about almost 4 hours of those Senate hearings yesterday, and I'm telling you, I mean, she leaked. She dropped the dime quarter and everything else. I mean, I think they're going to go after them, Facebook, big time. I think it's going to be a lot of change. I think the platform is going to change.
Yeah, I think that, like you said, definitely the swing is tightening up, and it's information off and out of the way that does not make sense. That's part of it, away from people that are out here doing all this stuff and this information is not working for them. And then I just listen to these children.
Yeah.
Here, you're doing it for our children. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Everything should have a cutoff. And if you out here putting this type of stuff out here and you're using children, then that's not right. So now you go on here and you take them on my job as a parent or tell them
exposing them to things that I may be against. Absolutely. 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 That's impossible. They use social media in school now.
Everything.
I'm saying they're taking tests and everything because they're trying to teach these kids how to be internet literate and all of those types of things. So you can't hide them from it.
This has been the thing for the last, at least 12, 15 years.
A long time.
And
longer than that.
From an example, my
grandma,
she was probably, I don't know, 2 years old
today. And could use the internet, couldn't she?
Look, I wasn't even using, you know, an internet-based phone at the time, so we were sitting someplace and my phone rang, and I used to keep my phone in my bra.
Yeah.
You know, sorry to say that. And she saw it, she heard it ring, she grabbed it, and she was like, your phone is broke. Your phone is broke because the screens weren't moving and doing all these things. I said, no,
me
phone
just doesn't do all of that. People looking at me like, huh? Well, my phone does it. My daddy's phone does it. You know, all of these people
that you do it, but they got to turn out about it. You don't have much. I got to say, bring my phone.
Yeah.
That's what pushed me into getting a phone that was more internet savvy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't need all this stuff on my phone. I'm not paying that kind of money for a phone.
I
use the phone for under, you know, $25,000
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I just got rid of a phone. I've had that phone probably about 3 years. It was so bad. The day that I had to go get a phone, I was mad. I was like, shoot. It wouldn't even charge no more. It wouldn't even take a charge no more. But, I don't use all of that stuff, not on the phone. I do it, you know, on the computer, but I don't use all that stuff.
Don't use the door, but, I mean, I think it's a mixed
computer. Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, like you said, I can be on my break. I can be waiting to do something, and I'm going to get on my phone, look at the news, I'm going to look at this, I'm going to look at that. I mean, there is nothing else for me to do if I'm sitting away, but to get on my phone and try to look at my phone and see what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sitting at the doctor's office and, you know, whatever while you're waiting. Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to show this article because I want to make sure that we cover this as well in terms of the because we started this conversation last week about the celebrities and how they influence public health. And, so I want to talk about this guy, Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins, was he with the Golden State Warriors or somebody? I'm not sure. I think he's with the Golden State Warriors.
Fully vaccinated,
but he said, I'm not advocating for it.
And he said, it's not my job. And technically, it's my personal business about the vaccine. So
it is.
For when a guy now was telling me about this, Irving, he said it was $400,000 a day for not being vaccinated. And then, like you said, Andrew Williams, mm-hmm. and so he was the first person saying this is for going to vaccine, but I guess that didn't work out.
He was the first to do what?
He wanted to obtain business exemption.
Oh, yeah, and they didn't approve it.
Yeah.
Well, that's because, hold on a second. But you know what? That is because all of these, okay, so what is happening with the religious exemptions is that these major faith organizations are coming out saying that they advocate for people getting the vaccine. The Pope said it. I think they still chose the Pope on TV getting his vaccination. And, you know, all of these other major religions are saying, no, we think people should get the vaccine. So they're having a hard, people are having a hard time with that religious exemption, because they're going, what the government is doing is, I guess, consulting the religious stance of their organization. Yeah.
What they're doing is they're using it as a note, say, hey, I'm because I'm not going to get infected with all that, well, you're not that religious.
Yeah.
You're using something that is not what you are. So you're trying to take advantage of something for somebody that is truly involved in religion. And that's harmful for them, because that means you're not respecting them.
Right.
Because someone gets that thing. And that's what you're talking about that. And like you said, we're talking about how, you know, if you were Gerard, you know, he's really just been talking about them being unvaccinated.
And he's Muslim. He's Muslim.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, a lot of times Muslims are definitely against anything that's related to vaccines, blood transfusion, you know, those types of health situations. They're totally against that. But you're saying, hey, you got to realize you out here playing your role to the fans, your role to people that are working these days, or to your teammates, and you're exposing for all of this, and these people are trying to fish and all these different things. Come on, smart up.
Yeah.
That's possible and get vaccinated. You know, and then the thing about it too is, again, when you start looking at the entertainment and improving sports, and then people are getting more involved in getting the vaccine, that carries weight to make the public say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and look at getting it. Other than that, all you're doing is, again, you've got people hitting a brick wall because they're following and they're looking at this entertainment. And looking at the support individuals, and they're following and saying, no, but they're not doing it. We're not going to do it either.
I want to show this article that I came across, and I thought it was really, really good. Let me see if I can share it on the screen, and then that way you can see it. Because it talks about how, you know, why people, basically why people even follow athletes and how celebrities influence public health. Let me see if it'll get, no, I don't want that one. So I guess that's the biggest that I can get it. But this article, it says, how does it, celebrities influence public health decisions? And one of the things, well, it's several things you mentioned about how they looked up to people. And they mentioned Angelina Jolie, too, and the positive effect she had on cancer screening. Let's see. And then they cover issues relating to the anti-vax movement. But I was saying, you know, why is it that people even listen to, follow celebrities anyway, you know,
don't understand your influence or what I saw when you were
out. I didn't know we were still doing that.
I would never.
Not based my decision.
Especially
when it comes
to my health.
No. I just not even a thought. I mean, who does that?
Exactly,
exactly. So they did some type of analysis, and they broke it down into five categories as to why, what this phenomenon is in terms of people listening to celebrities for their health decisions. The categories are economics, marketing, psychology, and sociology. And basically what they're saying is, okay, when you talk about celebrity endorsements, act as a signal of superiority, distinguishing endorsed forms of treatment and opinions from the alternative. People also have a tendency to make decisions based on what others have done in similar situations. In this instance, people often want to follow their favorite celebrity's footsteps. So one of the reasons why it happens, I can see this one, because what they're saying is that when these celebrities, the reason why companies do these celebrity endorsements, you know, basketball players with the shoes or the cars and all that kind of stuff, is because it gives it that particular product. Or in the case of a product situation, it gives that product
legitimacy.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. They know they're not doctors, but the idea that they trust these people, because a lot of times we do feel like we know celebrities personally. It does, you know, me leaked off Real Housewives of Atlanta. Her husband died a couple weeks ago, and I literally shed a few tears because I've watched him on that show since the beginning. And I really felt grief that he passed away. So
somebody like that
their inner circle would have to identify it as a problem, like they have some type of obsession with somebody on television or something like that. Because when you're talking, this is from what this is saying, it's saying that these people get their self-identification from the images and the beliefs and the practices of celebrities, of people they see on TV. So but we need to understand this stuff, because this is what you have. I told you I was looking at, what was it, last week when we were on, I was telling you I was looking at the comedian Eddie Griffin, and there's another comedian now that's done one, talking about telling people not, you know, the vaccine and whatever, giving them all kind of negative, unfounded information about the vaccine and their own personal choices. See, that's projection. So those that follow him,
yeah, they will believe and say, hey, you said not to do it, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, look, see, either, and especially if they are already skeptical.
Right.
So, and I looked at, the last time I looked at the views on that video, I need to go back and look and see if YouTube took it down. Because they might have taken it down by now. But when the last time I looked at his views, it was like 450,000 people had watched that video.
Wow, that's huge.
So that explains the numbers, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. Newsworthiness, this is the sociological perspective. Newsworthiness and the star quality of celebrities allow them to feature prominently within social networks and achieve great influence. People purchase celebrity by acquiring celebrity products, mimicking their lifestyle, and heeding their medical advice. The author's right. Doing so gives individuals social capital, raising their social status. And that is absolutely true. I think people do that. All those elective surgeries and all of that stuff, yeah.
And they want to go out and do the same thing.
Yeah.
Because they want to emulate what that star looks like.
Yeah. It's very interesting, but this is the thing that this is a very good article, and you know, but you know, you want to look at stuff like that because it helps to explain, you know, what is going on. Although we're talking specifically about vaccines, you know, number one, it explains the numbers. You know what I mean? You know. You're talking about now we're up to about 12%, so you might have 6 million, you know, people out of 46 million. You still got 40 million more black folks that are still walking around unvaccinated.
Yes, there's so many businesses involved, and I was really surprised that our community was going to step back like that.
Yeah.
I really did. And especially when we saw how hard people were hit by that. By COVID.
Yeah.
So I figured,
yeah, you would think,
people gonna go out here and get that vaccine. You gonna stand in line trying to get vaccine, so they're gonna be out here trying to check themselves. But it was
the opposite. It was the opposite. And then it was some governor that got on the news and said, well, the unvaccinated, the problem is the black community. And I said, where did he get that from? Because I was like you, I had no idea that this was going on. And I'm like, oh, although that's what he said is untrue, but the point of it was, that was the first inclination that there was even a problem with vaccinations in the black community.
Right. Exactly.
Because when I heard him say that, I'm like, what is he talking about? You know.
Right. And here we are now, you know, we're like, what, 8 months into, 8 months to pass the vaccine? You know,
yeah, probably about 8 months, yeah.
And now, look at employers and how they had to make changes to try to keep people in. Hey, if you don't get the vaccine, we're going to increase your health care rate. If you don't get the vaccine, we're not going to cover you if you're trying to tell you what they're saying and things now. So you're putting all of these things out here to try to fix
Try to make decisions as to whether or not it is safe for you based on the information that we have thus far. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong 10 years down the line. We understand that. But what we're trying to do is figure out now, the good thing that I want to make sure that I say this because there's a company called Merck. They have an experimental pill that they're trying to get approved to hit the market.
Yes.
You heard about it.
Yes.
That will treat COVID-19. So we're waiting on more data from that.
I was doing it
both
the pill and I am
taking it back. Yeah, so, because this is more experimental. Then they have the.
How long
will
I have to take? You have to
me. Well, it just says it's a daily pill. I don't know how long.
I'm gonna take a daily pill like that. And then what is
it
gonna turn
around with
anything else you have to take? How about that?
Yeah, it could be constipation. Yeah. I told you I can't fool with ginger root at all. with the heart thing, yeah, I can't take it.
Yeah. You have to be careful about what you say in terms of natural herbs that you take in your body. I mean, is it better in the case? Yeah, most patients do this. But the thing about it, it's expensive.
It's expensive,
you know,
yeah.
Medical insurance isn't covering it.
Nope.
To go out here and start doing herbal practitioner and keeping it up, if it costs you a whole lot of money.
Yeah, it can. And, you know, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the things that bothered me as far as a lot of the propaganda, because people that are, you know, a lot of times people will get out here and encourage stuff besides the spread of misinformation, you know, encourage something. And, you know, people are not in a position, your average person, especially when you talk about in the Black community, we have the highest poverty rates and all kind of stuff.
Right.
And then, and the highest.
The highest number for unemployed.
Highest, anything negative, anti-Black racism, structural racism in healthcare. We got to make sure just going to the doctor and hospital for regular stuff that we're not getting substandard treatment.
I mean, the average rate for African American women not speaking prenatal people.
All of
you
that. We have the highest death rate. More of our women die in childbirth and all of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So it's the disparities are so great. And so when we start talking about buy this, buy that, and a lot of what I see from a lot of the anti-vaxxers in terms of their influence over the Black community is like, don't take the vaccine and go buy my new mineral oil, you know.
Wow.
Go to my website. I see a lot of that kind of stuff.
And
so,
not
you know.
At all. Nothing to tell me that what you're doing there works other than, you know, pulling it out of your mouth. And I can't believe that. And then especially if you already have some type of health issues and stuff you may have been trying to deal with on the logo. And, you know, and you really have to go to this anyway. So why are you going to tell me to take that? That's something else. Like, you know, people don't realize here on the blood pressure medication, telling you, oh, I got a breakthrough. You can have some food spirit. It'll do that. No, a breakthrough is a breakthrough for people that are on high blood pressure medication and have an access to that medication.
Yeah.
So it's going to kill that. So that person is going to start having increased blood pressure and start broken out, having a heart attack or whatever.
All kinds of things. So it's very dangerous. It, you know, like I said, and then when you talk about the expensive, the cost that it is to have a holistic and a diet and all of that kind of stuff, you can't just go kosher food and all of that stuff. That stuff costs money. Most people cannot even afford that kind of stuff. Kim is here. Hi, Kim.
There.
Yeah. Kim, hit that link in the chat, Kim, and come on screen. Where are you at?
Just think about the groceries. When they put groceries on sale, they put $3.30 on sale $5.
Absolutely not.
All you go find is all the high fat saturated and high diet stuff. That's what's going to go on sale.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, you can. I don't think they won't accept food stamp cards, do they?
I'm not sure.
I doubt it. Kim is saying they do. Hold on. come on. She said hi, and she said they do what? They accept food stamp powers or what? I know they have this, I'm putting the link in the chat, Kim. Come on screen. They have this flavored butter I want to try.
Butter,
I don't know what else all the flavors are, but I want to try that with my steak. I want to. Things, those that are not natural things for us to have in our bodies. And that's why we have cancer and all the other diseases, because of the mucus and all that are out.
I mean, it's the same thing
of our, in our alkaline is off. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you need various products. You know what I'm saying? How do you stretch up various to make your body last, make your body
talk? Yeah. We're definitely going to have to go back to a plant. Well, eventually I'm going to cover this food shortage issue. It's going to be a shortage anyway, and the meat is so high.
They just had a thing in the news today talking about Walmart. It's short on beef, chicken, and pork. So, in a minute, you're not going to worry about trying to get along with the it's so high. They were saying you couldn't even get a hold of chicken wings when things off the suburbs. It was... When the wings stopped, they had to start selling fast because they couldn't get wings. And
Wow.
Here in Atlanta, about the reason why they said normally we cost them like, I think, $12, $15 to get wings. This cost us like $48 now. Like, we started with the pack. But the story, because I think about all the repacking places, so people got to stress when they were closed. And then a lot of the pickers and stuff can't spend it, and they had to look at it. Remember that?
Yeah.
So in Georgia, we got like 2 or 3 chicken factories here, Claxton Chicken Factory, and some other ones. And they had to close, and they were closed for a long time because all the workers became infected with the vaccine. And it was
the virus. Sure did. The milk, it was that one milk factory where they had to pour out all gallons and hundreds of thousands of gallons of milk and all of that stuff. Kim is saying Kim is saying that's great. Both Citadel and Greater Grace give a lot back to the community. I can certainly say you can see what they do with the money. Absolutely. Greater Grace, now this is my first time here in Citadel. I'm sure they've done other things. I know Greater Grace has a great backpack program and things.
They had the back to school stuff they were giving away bikes. You know, they were always not just giving away things that people need. They were giving away fun stuff. Like, remember, they used to always have a bike ride in the summer.
They did.
They did bikes. Because I remember I was on there with a bike a couple of times. And then, you know, they always had the back to school ride with the kids coming to the class, the school, the bus, book bags, and all the school class, and all those types of things.
Yeah, and they do that big festival. They do that big festival. I think they call it the block party. And they shut off, they put the things out and shut off all of the streets from telegraphing. Yeah, and they give away a lot of food supplies and stuff there too. Then we have another one. I want to make sure, because every week I'm getting behind schedule getting this information out. The Horton Family Foundation, they are doing, okay, it says starting November the 18th, if anyone you know needs free coats, clothing, blankets, socks, winter gloves, or hats, please contact the Horton Family Resource Foundation at 248-881-3633 for a request form. Merchandise will be given out on a first-come, first-served basis until supplies last. So I will definitely be keeping you guys informed and posted about this, but you need to dial this phone number to get a request form. It's going to be... The giveaway is on a first-come, first-served basis, and I guess I don't know if they're going to set up where you can pick the things up or they'll bring it to you, but I'll definitely be giving you more information on that as well. And then there is a lot of stuff going on in terms of, like Wayne Metro, they have... emergency rental assistance. Let's put this on the screen as well, really quick. Let's see. Okay, so this is Wayne Metro, and you can use this link, Wayne Metro, www.sarah.org/Sarah. This is the Sarah program, the COVID Emergency Rental Assistance Program. I think they put $100 million, Michigan, the state of Michigan put $100 million into this program to help people with rent and utilities. This is besides and in addition to the State Emergency Relief or SER program that you go through the Department of Health and Human Services, FIA, whatever you want to call it. You can apply for both programs. I'll say that again. You can get money for rent and utilities from both programs. Then there's a separate program that you can also apply for through Wayne Metro. They generally do a lot with utility assistance for your water bills and things like that. And then you have the winter months coming. In the state of Michigan, they did that law some years ago where you can't, they don't allow utility companies to shut you off like between November and March anyway. So those dates are actually the winter time is coming up. So they have, Wayne Metro has this emergency rental assistance, also the housing program, and all of that stuff is over there at Wayne Metro. So make sure that you check the description box, and the information will also be up on my website, and that's scrolling at the bottom, www.canmission.com. You can also check the website for that information as well. And I think that's it. Did I have one more? What is this? Oh, and also the Detroit Health. This is the last one, Tanya. I want to make sure I give this to them. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. This is the Detroit Eviction Help.com. Detroit Eviction Help.com. This is also probably. Now, the thing with these types of things is sometimes they are distributing money from the same funding source. So I have to check to see where this funding is coming from. I believe it is coming from the $100 million that they poured into the SARA program, the COVID relief program. But I have to check. But you can get up to 12 months of rent assistance, up to $2,500 in utility assistance. This is very important. They do have a phone number, 866-313-2520, Monday through Friday, 8 to 6 p.m. and 9 a.m., to noon on Saturday. It is a means-tested program. That means that eligibility is based on income and COVID-19 financial hardship. So I'm also going to be putting that information in the description box as well and on the website. On the website, you can go to the website to get that information as well. So those I wanted to make sure I gave them those because, before that those programs go away. Yeah. So, oh yeah, and if people in the Detroit area, because they got a pool of money, and if people in the Detroit area is not applying for it, they'll start moving it right on out to the suburbs and things like that. So, it's important, and the help is available. You don't have to sit out here and get evicted and all of that stuff or whatever. There is help. There is help for utilities, water, DCE, or consumer power, whomever you're going to or whatever. They will help you. And you can still get additional funds if there's a security deposit that is in this case, they'll pay whatever they're going to pay. If there's still amounts left over, you can still go through the State Department of Health, FIA, or whoever it is, DHS and get additional assistance through the SDR program. So they have a lot. You know, we're fortunate here in Michigan with stuff like that.
Yeah.
We really are. A lot of states do not have those programs available.
They don't. They really don't. I know they don't have any orders. They have a lot of problems with people being raised because of this, because
that eviction moratorium.
Yes. And people aren't back to work. And the thing is, a lot of people are like, you know, they can't really afford to go back to work because people are paying wages and stuff like that. And that's the thing, and there's a whole lot of jobs out here, so who do they pay?
Right.
You know, these jobs are not paying affordable wages, people can go out here and have a good deal. Because the thing is, the housing market, even buying and getting a house, so those prices have increased dramatically. And the same thing with the rental area, they've marked up and, you know, charging all the extra rent now. People are losing their places, and they're only trying to get in a certain dynamic, a certain demographic of individuals. So people that are making less than, you know, whatever amount of money, they're losing houses. Where are they going?
Yes.
So it's not good. It's really not good. I mean, in Georgia, it's not very expensive to live in now, and I think a lot of this is the film industry. It's a place that was affordable, and you came here and got a lot of houses, a little money, but a lot of rental.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not like that anymore.
It's not.
It's not.
Okay.
When I first came here, things were way lower.
I know somebody else that moved out, but she down there got a mansion out there.
Yeah,
that she paid little or nothing for. Oh, yeah, it's been long, yes, about 10 years ago, yeah.
Not doing that now. I mean, you know, I was looking for a house earlier this year, and I was amazed at the prices that were inflated. I'm not paying 20 keep moving, keep moving. I mean, the prices were so inflated.
Yeah.
I'll put you this way. No matter what, that way you ask me. The thing about it is you are offering this extra money to try to get your bid in. And so from that house, you know, in the housing market, it doesn't matter what they say they want to sell it for. If the value of a house once it is valued by the FHA or whoever the bank says, okay, well, you may ask $500,000 for your house, or I'm going to work for $10,000. You ain't going to never get more than that.
Yeah.
Paying cash so different. And you got a lot of cash investors that are out here buying these houses out cash, pretty much what people are asking for, and they don't have to have any respect. They don't have to have any immediate FHA or conditional. So I'm telling a lot of these people, like, hey, I'll take that money. I don't care about anything else. I'm going to take this money, and I'm going to go here alone, and I don't have to worry about waiting to get inspection, waiting to see what my buyers ask. So that changed a lot. I mean, a lot of the cash buyers that are buying like Zillow, Red Door, and all these places, they'll buy that house and then they're going to buy more and rent it out for $5,000. Who's doing that?
Wow.
On front of last month's rent. So who wants to put $5,000, $6,000 to rent a home?
Ooh. There's people out here doing it, though. There's people out here doing. I know it's a YouTuber that's paying $6,000. He's in Atlanta, paying $6,000 a month. I think it used to be the mansion. I ain't gonna say. They're renting some celebrity's old house.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. And then the other part about it too is that along with all of that. You got a lot of companies that are supposed to Minute Maid, that's okay, a phone call company that's in the state, they want their headquarters in Atlanta. Google, I think, is it Google or what's the other one that's in Washington? Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
They want a headquarters here. One of the railroad companies, Norfolk Southern, they can locate the other part of their headquarters from Virginia to Atlanta. So and you have a lot of the people that are top leadership that have relocated.
Yeah.
Those companies will buy your house, whatever they are, and help them buy another house here. And you had a lot of that happen.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Those companies that are relocating their employees, they're paying and giving them the money to go ahead and buy a house by the way, so they are relocating with their sales. So that's another thing that has people market real heavy here in Atlanta too.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's rough trying to process all of this stuff. So I think that, you know, I think that we have over the past few weeks, we've been doing this 3 weeks now.
I remember Black Planet, but I've never.
I remember it too. I didn't know it was still around.
Yeah, I remember Black Planet, but I never.
Yeah, I didn't either. But I think now I'm going to go back and say, I want to get see what's going on and what type of information that they may be providing and, you know, help them. Because the first, you know, Black Planet was really, really, really for just socializing and dating and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. I remember, I can see the little logo in my head. Was this logo yellow?
I don't remember.
I can't remember, but I remember Black Plant. I remember something.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were doing on that.
I think when it first coming out, I definitely was not doing anything supposed to be at all. But
right.
You know that it was one of the larger things that people were dating on and doing. So internet dating, and I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't know, well, I don't need that, so I'm not going to go there. That's primarily the goal of the black people. But they're saying now that they're trying to get back into making it strong. So, you know, the two of you were here going on there, and then they're trying to have a good platform to develop something that is not just for, you know, the person who socializes or giving information to the public, and then it's to help us find out resources and different things like that. I would definitely
do that. Oh, yeah.
Black,
yeah.
And then I'm here, Black Planet
page
is still going strong. That's up to the test of time.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't have no idea it was even still around. But, yeah, I'll definitely go on there and check it out. And then I want to make sure that everybody goes to Kim, have you... Kim, go to YouTube and to the YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button, please. And I want to encourage everybody to do that, as well as go to the website www.cammichigan.com and go ahead and put in your email address, because we don't know what's going on with these social media companies. They're not going anywhere, that's for sure. We don't know what kind of changes are going to be made. Like I said, censorship is a good thing. It's tricky, though. It's very, very tricky in terms of, you know, because in general, I think everybody's voices should be heard. Whether I agree with them or not, I think people should have the right to express themselves and things like that. However, when you are in a situation like this where there's a public health crisis, I can understand where they're coming from. And the you know, like I said, it's going to be interesting to watch what type of regulations in terms that they're going to start proposing and trying to put in place. And these social media companies, now, they are not no lightweight thing. They're very rich and powerful.
Very,
and let me tell you something. They're going to fight. So I don't know what Congress is going to try to do, but it'll mess around and end up in Supreme Court, because these are very powerful companies. And listen, I can see it being turning into a big fight is what I can see happening, because they're not just going to let them control, because these are for their private companies. They're not. See, the thing with it is that I saw some people talking about your First Amendment rights and all of that stuff. That doesn't apply to the private industry.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't apply. They have the right to regulate their company how they please. They can make the rules as they please. That's the way it is.
Exactly. It's not like a television station or a radio station.
Well, you got the FCC regulating it.
Yeah, it's not that. This is not the same thing at all.
No. That's
something I'm trying to implement,
because the
Fox News, I would sure like to see that happen.
It's gonna be interesting to watch, because this lady here, she's Phyllis and Steve. What is the name? Francis.
Whatever her name is. She's putting it out there.
Frances Hogan. Yeah, undergrad in some type of, I forget what specific type of engineering, and she's a Harvard MBA, so she's not no dummy. but we have to look at, you know, you got to balance things between what is harmful to the public and stuff like that. The anti-vax rhetoric is just really just getting flat, has gotten flat out harmful to the public.
And so listen to this, since you brought her up. In this past week on Fox News, it says the Facebook whistleblower's attorney just came out 2 hours ago. It says the Facebook whistleblower's attorney says there is more to come. The lawyer said, quote, right, the Facebook role and the business is more successful, right? There is more to come.
Oh, wow.
This is
it's gonna be explosive. It's just gonna be explosive. And I think, you know, because now the only thing is that she did say that she does not. She said she has a lot of empathy for Mark Zuckerberg, and she doesn't think this was his original intentions. But I think the impression I got, like she said, he just doesn't have a good handle on the company and making sure the people that's actually running the day-to-day operations of the company, he's not monitoring what they are doing because they're making him money. That's all he's satisfied. Because I think they said he lost, $16 billion when he was down for 6 hours Monday.
What?
I forget. It was some astronomical, crazy number. Yeah, he lost like $16 billion while he was out, while Facebook was down the other day, between all three platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. You looking it up?
Yeah,
look it up and see what it said.
How much did he lose?
It was a big number. I know that much. I don't know where Kim went.
They said it was $85.97 billion.
Billion or million?
Billion was a B.
And that's way more than even what I thought.
This is how my Facebook lost every minute during the major down. So across every minute, we got their lose
160,000 a minute. You know, they said that that sounds like the Queen of England's income. You know, they said the Queen of England makes about $300,000 a minute.
What?
That's what I heard.
We're
doing something wrong, huh? this is bananas. Absolutely. I mean, come on, this is crazy. But yeah, that's how they roll. So it ain't like they're going to just roll over and all of that. Not gonna happen. They're gonna, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Wow. That's real talk. We need to figure it out. We need to figure that out. Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. They make that kind of money. That's what I'm saying. These media companies, honey, they are powerhouses. So
yeah,
Trump and his little $70 million he raised off of his base and all of that stuff that's funding these lawsuits or whatever. Listen, Trump is a small fry compared to these Mark Zuckerbergs and Google and all. These are some powerhouse companies. They are no joke. And so I'm telling you, I'm going to be following this story and reporting and continuing to report on it. No, he's a kid. I'm telling you, they invited him to the Senate hearing yesterday. He went sailing. He wasn't thinking about them.
Right, he's 37.
Yeah, he's
just
married.
His net worth.
Oh,
is
he? I'm not even. Yeah, he's married. I didn't know he was married either.
I didn't either.
His net worth is $116.8 billion.
Wow.
He's, you know, he business past Bill Gates and all of them. You know, Bill Gates at one point had made the most millionaire. He was making millionaires out of his employees.
Yeah.
When he started Microsoft. So, but anyway, yeah, we're going to keep, we'll be following this story. We're going to continue to follow the situation that's going on with the vaccine wars. But if Tanya comes back next week, regardless, I think I'm going to switch up next week and move on to another topic. And then we'll just kind of follow along, I guess, with the vaccine wars and just keep people updated as to what's going on with that. I still want to look at some things in terms of the MRA to understand more about the technology of the vaccine and all of that kind of stuff. We also need to look at community guidelines for the platform to figure out what it is that I can and cannot say. So there's going to be a little bit more extra research involved in those shows because they are being very specific as to what they'll shut you down for.
Yeah.
So I don't even want the, as the good old scripture say, don't let even your good be evil spoken of, you know, show the very appearance of evil. So I don't want to be mixed up in that crowd. Even John F. K. Jr. got caught up in the anti-vax propaganda, and his channel got shut down. So you know if they shut out JFK's nephew.
Wow.
So, it's a big, huge thing going on. And like I said, it's going to be interesting, the regulations. I'm not even looking at First Amendment rights and all of that kind of stuff because it really just doesn't even apply here. Because, I mean, you know, they're private organizations and they're private companies, and they're not bound by those types of, you know, and they're basically, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, whatever regulations are in place, I guess that's one thing to look at, but, you know, they're not bound by that kind of stuff. That you're really talking about the government when you start getting off into the Constitution. And that's one of the things that is complicating the vaccine mandate, because a lot of employers are waiting on federal regulation regarding the vaccine, and they won't give a definitive mandate. They are only, I think Biden just gave employers leeway to implement vaccine mandates within their own organization. But he has not made a definitive mandate from the federal level himself. So that's one of the problems that they're having. But, you know, when you start looking at employers, people are talking about the mandates and stuff. And that, like I said, that's why I said it's still an ongoing conversation, because you got to look at the liability and stuff depending upon what kind of company it is and all of that. So they don't want people coming in COVID infectious and possibly transmitting the disease, that can open them up to liability. So it's a lot. It's a lot going on. Like I said, the U.S. just crossed the milestone of 700,000 deaths on Friday. Cases are declining, but they are expecting another surge due to this Delta variant, and they're expecting it to hit sometime around November. So we're going to continue to watch this, and I'll figure out what we're going to do as far as programming next week. But I'm going to give this a rest for a while, and we'll just do some updates, I guess.
Right.
Absolutely. So thank you, Tanya, always for joining us. She ain't no stranger. This is my sister. I ain't going through all of that drama, but I appreciate her. I really do. And
always a pleasure, girl. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, people don't know, in our little circle, we kick the bobos like this anyway.
Yes, exactly.
So,
this has been a long ride right here.
Yeah.
Long ride.
So, a lot of this, if the audience realizes it, I think for a minute, because we just get caught up in conversation because we talk like this all the time, and
yeah,
our friend Kim.
There's so many things that we talk about, like we look at them, but I bet logic, different things.
The virus is real. And so that is one thing we know. It is real. It is not a hoax. So, you know, be safe, everybody, and we thank each and every one of you that has joined us tonight. We did have some people in here, and I see the numbers going up and down, so they're coming, I guess, coming in and out. So, but regardless, we are certainly grateful for anyone that has joined us tonight, and those of you who will watch the programming on the replay as well. Leave your comments. I always try to open up phone lines and things like that to make sure that you can call in and share. I did forget to put up the phone number, though.
I never did.
It just hit my mind while I was talking just that second. I didn't even put that phone number up. I appreciate it, and I look forward to having these conversations with you guys every week. Tanya, anything you want to say before we walk out?
Again, this is a pleasure to always be able to connect and reach out to the people. We try to do our best, try to help somebody any way we can.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal. It's to, we reach down to a little bit. We have a little fun to chat on this episode, but the main goal is to do what we can to try to help as much as we can.
Yeah.
And that was, with everything we need, the information that TA got out, to be able to help people that are struggling with paying their rent.
Okay, Mook, I'm coming.